I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles, if you have them with you, to the Old Testament book of Isaiah, chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41. The title at the head of this chapter in the NIV is The Helper of Israel. God promised wonderful blessings to his people, even though they were in the midst of difficulty while in captivity, and particularly the promise that we see in verse 10 is what I would like to focus on this morning as we step forward into a brand new year, the future about which or of which we do not know. But I'll read the first 16 verses of this chapter. Be silent before me, you islands. Let the nations renew their strength. Let them come forward and speak. Let us meet together at the place of judgment. Who has stirred up one from the east, calling him in righteousness to his service? He hands nations over to him and subdues kings before him. He turns them to dust with his sword, to windblown chaff with his bow. He pursues them and moves on unscathed by a path his feet have not traveled before. Who has done this and carried it through, calling forth the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, with the first of them and with the last, I am he. The islands have seen it in fear, the ends of the earth tremble, they approach and come forward. Each helps the other and says to his brother, be strong. The craftsman encourages the goldsmith, and he who smooths with a hammer spurs on him who strikes the anvil. He says of the welding, it is good. He nails down the idol so it will not topple. But you, O Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, you descendants of Abraham, my friend, I took you from the ends of the earth, from its farthest corners I called you. I said, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not rejected you. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. All who rage against you will surely be ashamed and disgraced. Those who oppose you will be as nothing and perish. Though you search for your enemies, you will not find them. Those who wage war against you will be as nothing at all. For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Do not be afraid, O worm Jacob, O little Israel, for I myself will help you, declares the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. See, I will make you into a threshing sledge, new and sharp, with many teeth. You will thresh the mountains and crush them, and reduce the hills to chaff. You will winnow them, the wind will pick them up, and a gale will blow them away. But you will rejoice in the Lord, and glory in the Holy One of Israel. Once again, verse 10, a marvelous promise. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Dear people of God, the little phrase, Happy New Year, was spoken and was heard by most of us, I'm sure, perhaps on the day of yesterday, the first day of this new year, or perhaps this morning, as you met and you greeted friends and neighbors as you came into church to worship. And undoubtedly that wish was very, very sincere. We want one another to have a happy or a blessed 2011. What that year holds in store for us, of course, we have no way of knowing. Will there be joy or sorrow? Will there be peace or conflict? Will there be prosperity or adversity? We do not know. We don't have the ability to see into the distant future. But surely our hope and our prayer for one another is that we should have, by God's grace, a happy or a blessed new year. If it's going to be that, however, then surely there is a certain kind of an attitude that must characterize us as God's people. It is needful, obviously, that we entrust ourselves to our Heavenly Father's care, whose love and whose wisdom has already outlined the course of the whole year in His own heart and His own mind. There's nothing that happens by chance. All comes about by the will of our Heavenly Father, who knows better than you and I know what is good for us and what is not good for us, and who has promised, by the way, never to allow a burden to come your way or mine that is greater than the grace that He has promised to provide for us to be able to bear it. So as we set out now on this particular stretch of our earthly pilgrimage, we will find it very helpful, I think, not just to hitch our wagon to a star, as the world might suggest to us, but if I may borrow some of that language, to hitch the wagon of our hope to this star of God's promise. The inspired prophet Isaiah brought a wonderful promise for those dark and rather gloomy days that the people of Israel were facing while in captivity. And the unchangeable God whom you and I serve, I believe, holds out that same kind of both challenge and promise to you and to me today. There is, it seems to me, some powerful inspiration that we may take from these words in Isaiah chapter 41, particularly verse 10, as we step forward into the new year. God made this promise to His people many, many years ago. And if you and I will claim that as our own, then it will yield the secret of a holy, blessed new year, and it will fill our hearts with confidence no matter the kind of circumstances in which we find ourselves as the year unfolds. Listen again to these words. Do not fear, for I am your God, or I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. If we believe that, if we lay claim to that promise, that will indeed put some real flesh on that Happy New Year wish, won't it? Happiness or blessedness doesn't happen just by accident. It doesn't just come about either as a result of our own efforts, no matter how diligent we are. But it is ours when, by the Spirit of God, we understand what kind of a God we have as our guide and our companion, as well as Savior, of course. If in spite of the possible trials or heartaches or difficulties or burdens that come our way in the course of the new year, it is going to be one of blessedness, we will have to learn how to rest in the joy of who God is. In the joy of who God is. It is only as we know Him, of course, that we can really trust Him, no matter the circumstances. And for our encouragement and peace, it's my belief that God reveals Himself here in this little text in a fourfold way through the prophet Isaiah. Because I think we see here God's prerogative, and I'll explain what that means in a moment, God's presence, God's power, and God's provision. Four P's that help us a little bit to remember it better. God's prerogative. If this year is going to be one of unbroken peace for you and for me, then there are two knots, N-O-T-S, or I suppose it could say two negatives, but two knots that God calls us to guard against. Do not fear. Do not be dismayed. Oh, what powerful enemies those two are. Fear, dismay. They're always lurking in the shadows around us to rob us of trust, to rob us of confidence. But somebody is going to say, does the sovereign God have the right to command you and me to have a year without fear and without dismay? Is that his prerogative? Oh, yes. Yes, he has the right to command that. But we say, how can that be? How can that be? I mean, a year without fear, a year without any kind of dismay, when there are so many trials and difficulties and heartaches that are associated with everyday life and living? Oh, it can be because God always graciously supplies whatever he commands. That's why long ago St. Augustine once said, give what you command and then command what you will. God's appeal here is not just negative, you see. Don't fear, don't dismay, because it is his will to fortify us. This is what he wants to do. He wants to fortify our minds with his grace so that we don't have to give in to any gloom that the unknown future may still hold in store for us. Do not fear. Fear actually is a terrible thing, isn't it? I mean, it robs us of joy, it robs us of peace, it robs us of hope. Fear and faith are never good companions. Fear is the child of doubt. Faith is born of God. Fear always ends in failure. Faith always leads to victory. If 2011 is going to be a year without fear, then it also has to be a year of ever-increasing faith in that one who said in his word that he is able to do far and above all that we ask or think. And that means that you and I are going to have to be faithful in the use of those means that God has given us for the growing of our faith, for the increase of that faith. If our faith is weak, if our faith fails and falters, it is generally because we haven't used the means that God has given us for its growth. Do not fear. No, but have faith. And make sure that is growing because you're using regularly the means of grace, the word preached, the sacraments. Do not be dismayed. That's kind of hard to hear too, isn't it? Can we live in a world with multiple problems and then not be filled with dismay sometimes? Oh, yes, because there is one who is unchangeable and forever faithful, and it's to him that we must look. If we just look around us at the world, we're bound to be dismayed. If we just look backwards, we're going to see our own sins and our own failures. If we just look inside of us, we're only going to see our own lack of confidence many times. So we need to look up to the one who is omnipotent, to the one who is sovereign, to the one who, after all, is on the throne of the universe. And through all the unknown paths that are before us, he will lead us into ever deeper experiences of his love and his power. We need to look up because in the midst of all of the storms or trials or difficulties that will come, he will be there to sustain us with his peace. We must look up, for only then will we be able to hear and obey that command. Do not fear. Do not be dismayed. It's God's prerogative to command that. Then we see here in this text God's presence. Because right alongside of those two nots, there are two I ams. I am with you, and I am your God. The first of those two assures us of his presence. I mean, always there with us. I am with you. That's precious, my friend. We ought never, ever to forget it. I am with you. How many of us who are here this morning are going to still be in the land of the living at the end of 2011? We don't know the answer to that question. If a vacant chair appears in your household during the course of this coming year, life may become very lonely. Some of us may be forced to, during the course of this year, to release the grasp of a living, loving hand, of a husband or of a wife or of a child or a dear friend, and the pain is going to be deep, undoubtedly. But God will never let go of our hand. Didn't Jesus say shortly before he ascended, "Surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age"? And wasn't his redeeming work so thorough that he said in John 10:28, "I give to them eternal life and they shall never perish, and no one," devil included, "no one shall snatch them out of my hand." In the darkest hours that may come upon you or me in the year 2011, he will be there to assure us that somehow, even though many times we don't understand how, all things will work together for good. After all, we have died with him and we have been raised to new life with him. Boldly we confess, therefore, "It is no longer I that live, but Christ Jesus that lives in me." If we take him consciously with us through the new year, we will be inspired with confidence and experience a blessed comfort in knowing the truth of this wonderful promise: "I am with you." We need anything more than that? There is no love more compelling. There is no mercy more tender. There is no love more sympathetic than that of the Lord our God. We may have to face the raging billows of grief, or the storm clouds of trouble may take the brightness like this sun shining out there right now away from us during the course of some of our days. But still we are able to say, if God is for us, who can be against us? After all, we are already more than conquerors through him who loved us. Let come what may, we have the guarantee of his glorious presence. So do not fear, but have faith, for I am with you. God's presence. Then thirdly, we see here God's power. It's found in the second I am. I am your God. Who is our God? Oh, the one, no less than the one who created this whole universe. You know, we like to boast about the power of the things that we invent or discover, but surely our power is nothing but weakness when compared to the power of the God who spoke and the world came into being. But even more amazingly, this almighty creator, to whom you and I, in a sense, may seem like no more than just a little speck of dust, he says to us, "I am. I am your God." Which can mean nothing less. His vast power is at our disposal, mind you. It's there for our use. With our hands on the latch of 2011, we can enter its days with boldness because that vast power of our God is at our disposal. It's intended for the use of his weakest saints. What a thought. In Jesus Christ, He is our God, and as needs arise, He will meet them for us. As clouds arise, He will dispel them for us. As enemies appear, He will vanquish them for us. I am your God, He says. If that is our assurance as we step into 2011, we can surely go forth with confidence and with boldness, even though the future is, in fact, unknown to us. God's power at our disposal. And then, finally and fourthly, God's provision. This promise contains three I wills, though if you look carefully at the text, you'll notice that the word I only appears twice. But if you were to read the passage literally from the original, it would say, I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you. Such a triplicate of certainty ought to slay forever any fears or doubts that you might have or I might have. I will strengthen you. I don't suppose we will have to travel very far into the year 2011 in order for us to realize that in ourselves we're pretty weak. Temptations will come our way during the course of the year that'll just be too strong for us to resist all by ourselves. Trials will come our way which we simply can't bear alone. Burdens will be laid upon us that are too heavy for us to carry all by ourselves. And soon it will dawn upon us that the secret of strength lies in the consciousness of our own weakness. Because when we are weak in self, then we are strong in Him. Our greatest victories will be won as the power of Jesus Christ covers our own impotence. Isn't that exactly what the Lord made clear to the Apostle Paul when he complained about that thorn in the flesh that he had, whatever that was? God said to him, in effect, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. The point is, when God's power has brought us to the point where we know our own weakness, then its task is finished. Then it has shaped us into a tool that He can use. Because as long as we imagine that we have some power and strength in and of ourselves, we are unfit for His use. Then He still has to work on us before He can work through us. That's why Paul was given that thorn in the flesh. That weakness made him an excellent tool in the Lord's hand. May it be true for you and for me in the year 2011 that the Lord will be the strength of our life so that through us He might be able to do mighty things. I will help you. I will strengthen you. I will help you. In my mind, that seems to be a suggestion that the Lord will take the heaviest end of the load that we are carrying, and He'll assist us in carrying it. Talk about comfort. Have you ever seen a child struggling beneath the weight of a load that was really too heavy for his or her little body to carry, and then you bend over and you help that child carry that little load? Well, that's somehow the picture we get here. The Lord is our helper. And He doesn't just give us something to help us, but He gave us someone, Himself, in the person of His Spirit. So we can greet this new year with courage, knowing that whatever the load may be, the heaviest among those loads will seem light to the one to whom nothing is too hard. And then I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. To Talk about a threefold cord of strength. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you. Such a trinity ought to banish all fear and all dismay from our hearts and from our lives. Could we ever ask for anything more than this? If this promise doesn't give us or allow us to have a blessed new year, then nothing will it? Think of it, to be upheld by the hand that formed the entire universe, all of the stars and galaxies and planets around us. The hand characterized by righteousness in the dispensing of rewards and punishments, ultimately. Why right hand? Well, because in ancient courts, the lawyer always stood on the right side, whether he was working for the prosecution or for the defense. And the Bible always presents the right hand as a place of power and authority. Verse 13 of this chapter, we read, I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand. There it is again. And says to you, do not fear. I will help you. Think of that. The right hand of God, as it were, holding our right hand. Hand in hand with God, walking through, working through 2011. That is what we must never forget as its days run their course. God's provision. No, we don't know what the new year before us holds in store for us. But we do know this. The God who does all things well will provide whatever we need if we but place our lives in His hands. The things to be etched out on this new page of history are still a mystery to you and to me today. But surely its days will be packaged with blessedness if we hitch the wagon of our hope to this wonderful promise. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. The poet said it well, I think, when he wrote, upon the threshold of the year, as one that keepeth trust, I wait. The unknown way I shall not fear, if close beside the opening gate, one radiant form by faith I see, and Christ my Lord will go with me. The sunshine shall be yet more bright with His dear presence by my side. No gloomy veil shall me affright, nor any ill my soul betide, if, whether joy or sorrow be, through all the year He leadeth me. So, at the threshold of the year, I wait that I may hear Him say, my presence shall be ever near, and strength be given for the day. For lo, through all the days, saith He, the Lord shall bear thee company. May God bless you and yours this year with the blessed assurance of that promise. Amen. Heavenly Father, undoubtedly, the words that we have looked at this morning from Isaiah 41 meant a great deal to the people to whom they first were written, giving them new hope and new eagerness to go forward, because of the precious promise inherent in those words. We would claim that text and the words of that promise for our very own as we step into a year that is yet to unfold before us, if it is your will. How grateful we are to know that you are always with your people, that you, the God who spoke and the world came into being, is the one who says, I am your God. So do not fear or be dismayed, because I will strengthen you and I will help you and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Cause us to be faithful then in using the means that you have given us regularly for the growth of our faith, so that we in strong faith may claim that promise as our own and step into this unknown year boldly with confidence, because you are our God and we are your children. Hear us for the sake of your dear Son Jesus, who earned all of this for us. It is in his name that we pray. Amen.